You got it. Do it.
Thank you. I'll never be your beast of burden.
I don't know this song.
Let your heart, my feet are hurting. Never, never, ever, 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 ever be.
Hello, welcome to Respectfully Podcast. I'm Andrea Allen.
I'm Lizzie Cassidy, and our guest today is a hilarious stand-up comedian, but what else is new? Give it up for Nico Carney, everybody.
What's up, everybody? Hello. Thanks for having me. I'm happy to be here.
Tell the people what you have going on, what you want them to check out before we start.
Let's do it. Yeah. If you end up liking this episode and want to see more from me, I'm a stand-up comedian. If this comes out before June 18th, I'm taping my special at the Bell House. Come check me out there.
Yes.
And I also am in a movie that's getting a theatrical release this summer called She's the He. It's an indie trans buddy comedy. It's
Hell
really cool.
Yes.
So check that out.
Awesome.
It's going to be in New York and LA and some other cities. So
oh my God. Yeah.
Wait, I want to confess something to you that I told Andrea before
Hilarious.
We got here and I wasn't going to say it, but I have to. I am going to London in 2 days, so all of my clothes are in the laundry so that I can pack. So I was looking through the 4 shirts that I had left, and I almost left the house wearing my Protect the Doll shirt. And I was like, we can't make a trans person walk in the room.
Sure.
And I'm like, your cool Midwestern aunt. Like, yeah. Hey, I'm okay with this, just so you know.
You know, I paid full price for it, too. I tipped and everything.
Yeah. And like, I don't know, it's like a different kind.
Yeah.
I'm like, so you're the dolls? Like, I don't get it.
We have a lot of learning to do today. Yeah. I came here to teach.
Yeah. And then I was like, I have to change. That's so crazy. Yeah.
Well, it's so funny.
We have the lesbian set. I'm in the Protect the Dolls.
There you go. I literally will have these things, too, where like,
Nico. You're safe here.
Thank you. I'll have experiences where I'll be like on the train and I'll see somebody like in a Protect Trans Kids or Protect the Dolls or something like that, and I want to be like, I like your shirt, and I'm like, I don't want to come off as like some weird guy who's like nice,
right?
You know, like,
it's like, I fucking love trans people.
Yeah, it's like, I'm gonna go. Yeah, yeah. Like, it's yeah.
I love having sex with trans people.
Yeah,
yeah.
Trans people are sexy.
Yeah. Totally.
They're like, walk away, sir. Yeah.
Men who like have sex or date trans women, they really do have to walk a thin line with their enthusiasm about trans people.
Yeah.
And you always know when they like them for the bad.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
I really treat them like some sort of kink and not a human being.
Which is what I would have been giving.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Yeah.
I would have been like, yeah, I'm totally cool.
Yeah.
It's stuff like that is always hard to decide. Like I bought it for the financial contribution.
Yeah.
It's cute, but that's why I bought it. And like, you have shirts that say like abolish ice and stuff.
Yeah.
It's like, it's just like interesting to decide where to wear those.
It's a tough line to walk with the merch. Cause like you're saying, it's like you did the cool thing of like giving money to the right organizations or whatever, or like supporting in that way. But then it's like, yeah. And do I rep this shirt or do I look like a total weirdo?
Yeah. I also almost wore it to Sunday School Ashley Gavin's show. And I was like, that looks so fucking annoying.
Yeah. Like, a lot of would have been like, yes.
Yeah. Or they would have been like, okay.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. We've moved to this.
Silent clap, which is even worse than a snap because there's no noise.
There's no noise.
I know.
Yeah.
I mean, it is like a leftist pick me energy.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's leftist pick me energy. I think, unfortunately, the answer is buy the shirt, wear it to bed.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
Or wear it to like a conservative function if you mean it.
Yeah.
If you really
wear it to your conservative
it.
Cousin's wedding.
Yeah.
And really start some shit.
You're right. Yeah. In New York, people see my ass coming with my black fucking hair and all my rings and my big lesbian shorts. And they're like, we get you.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like,
and
when
also, we are you.
When I go on tour, I do these like, a lot of times these like shit small towns, because I like, in order for me to sell tickets, I have to be the only thing happening there that night.
Crushing.
I totally hear that.
And when I pass a bar with a pride flag and a Black Lives Matter sign in Fayetteville, West Virginia, I'm like, that fucking means something.
Yeah.
Like in Brooklyn, you have to put one up to get any business.
Yeah, you don't get a permit if they don't get one. They won't even let you have a building unless there's a pride flag.
It's a zoning law.
Yeah, literally.
But in like West Virginia, I'm like, you could get a rock thrown through your window here for this. And it always makes me cry.
No, totally.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, I totally get that. Yeah. I've been having that experience too, because I've been touring a bunch this year and like with going to smaller towns or the South or something and like seeing all these queer and trans people show up to the shows, and then also like walking around through these small towns and like being like, like you're saying, that means something.
Yeah.
It takes some real guts to do
literally,
that. And like, you know, us walking around the streets in our
us
in protect the dolls.
It's like,
I love the way this fits me. Like, you know, it's
it
like,
literally
so,
like, it looks like I'm metaphorically trying to get pussy. Yeah, not literally. But it does give trying to get pussy, tote bag, bell hooks, nails guy, but for white women.
Yeah, and
it's like you just can't. You can't be doing it all the time. Uh-huh.
Well, I always run by you because I am older than Lizzie. I'm like,
Gen Z cusp.
I'm a millennial elder.
97.
Wow. Yeah. Well, enjoy your full fucking lives. I'll be dead before you run out of clean water, you fucking young cunts.
I doubt that.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
What, are you going to die tomorrow?
Hopefully.
Oh, if the water starts to go, I'm out of here. Yeah. I'm not sticking around to see the end of
that. I'm famously not. I'll fight till the end. But I always send
And you'll
Lizzie,
get to eat me because I'm putting a gun in my mouth. Keep
and
going.
Thank you. I'll just cry and eat you.
I loved her.
Oh, this is actually a really nice cut.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I've been wanting to see her naked body because I'm obsessed with her.
We have a bit where Andrea's secretly in love with me. Yeah, that's I was here for the beginning of the pod.
I was here before the cameras were rolling. I know. I can totally give you guys a second.
Yeah. Like a closeted lesbian who's in love with Lizzie. Funny bit. Shout out to my husband. No, but I always send Lizzie like outfits that are slightly that.
Yeah.
And I'm like, is this chuggy?
Yeah.
Am I giving a bad thing?
Where can I wear this?
Yes, I send what you a meme protocol? I don't understand.
Yeah. Oh, I love when you send me a meme you don't understand. Yes.
There's a whole Reddit thread that's like, PETA, what does this mean? That's like, it's, yeah. Yeah, have you seen that before?
Yeah.
And it's like,
yeah.
It's like a family guy. I don't know what the actual like reference is, but it's always like, yeah, like shit, like what is going on? Yeah. I don't understand on the internet.
The best one was our friend got fired from a television program that rhymes with Schmatternischmive.
Past guest of the show, maybe, who knows?
Maybe, who knows? Yeah. I mean, you can figure it out pretty quickly if you look at my Instagram for a second, but yeah. I posted like a meme that was like rehire blah 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 school walkout at 3, and Andrea messaged me and she was like, where is this happening? Like, right. we were gonna do a real protest.
I have apples in my bag, I have tissues,
and then you
I've
were like
made a sign.
You were like, school I was like, it's just,
you're like, I have Lauren Michaels' address, I'm coming.
I'm Canadian, we all know each other, okay?
it's just a meme yeah. But I loved it was so, your heart was true.
I have to
this
be
is,
earnest.
This is the problem with the internet. It's too hard to know what's going on and what's real and what's fake.
And God forbid you have a pure heart.
Thank you.
God forbid.
Not on Satan's internet, you know.
God forbid you have a pure heart and you believe there's a protest for your friend. During like...
God forbid you think people in this community ride for each other that way. Yes. Yeah.
By the way, during like peak Palestine protests, to be like, we're going to do a side one. Our friend got fired.
Our friend who is Middle Eastern.
Somebody's dreams are being put on a different track and we need to stand up for that.
Yeah. I'll go to all of them, okay? I'm canvassing for the DSA. I have very like... kooky aunt energy.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I would rather know that about myself when people are aging, and I'm not like being like, women are aging. Ugh. But you do when women still, or actually it's kind of worse when men still try to be like cool.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, that makes you look like such a fucking loser to be like, hey, kids. And I'm like, I want to be culturally understanding what's going on, but I do not want to be like trying to do something.
Yeah.
Like
Dave
young
Portnoy's
and cool.
whole fucking thing.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So like college forever.
Oh my God. Yes. Yeah.
Dave Portnoy is the Republican version of what we're doing.
Yes.
Where he's wearing a hat that says like, don't protect trans people and also subscribe to my podcast.
Yeah, yeah. Literally.
God, I hate that guy.
Yeah.
I went
what a loser.
Accidentally went to a Dave Portnoy event. My friend like works
one woman
in...
found at the Dave Portnoy event.
Woman found lost at Dave Portnoy Pizza Festival.
Woman found raped at a Dave Portnoy event.
Jesus. Thank God I went with my boyfriend or else I would have been like, I gotta get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
My boyfriend's friend, who's also my friend, works in like festival. He like works at music festivals, works at festivals. So he gets free tickets to festivals all the time. So he just like texted a bunch of us and he was like, I have free tickets, free VIP tickets to a pizza festival. And all it is you walk around and try pizza. It's like small slices of pizza from all the best places in the city. So we were like, what a fun afternoon activity with pals.
Mm-hmm.
And then we got there and it was Dave Portnoy's one bite, you know the rules, pizza festival. And what's crazy is the reason my friend had free VIP tickets is because nobody would buy them.
Yeah, it's like the Melania movie when they're
because
trying
they were
to get
like,
people
to
fucking go.
They were like $600. And one of the things you get is you get like access to Portnoy.
No.
You get to be in the VIP area where he is. So I just I got to watch.
No, you hear that, man.
Pay me. I mean, I did end up going, but I didn't know. But, and the pizza was good. But I got to watch grown men ask Dave Portnoy for a photo while their wives held the phone. And I was like,
I hope the last thing, I think before the gates of heaven, God should be like, and I'm just going to bring this one literally. Back up. Remember when your wife held the camera for you to take a picture with this fucking freak?
And I'll say it. I was like, why would you bring a gun to a school when you could bring it here?
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
Just like literally. Mow down these absolute bird brained
morons. If you see a Patagonia vest, open fire.
Open fire. Dude, if you have hate in your heart, direct it towards the pizza festival.
I mean, I'm always like, if you get diagnosed with one of the baddies and you're going out soon,
get in there,
girl.
Get your
tactical gear and do everyone a fucking favor.
Yeah. I know. It's really reframed the way I deal with my friends who have suicidal ideas. I'm like, don't kill just yourself.
Sure.
Just kill the president.
If you're ready to go, let's go out on a bang.
If it's your time, it's like when your friends, well, other people don't relate to this. It's like when someone you know is in a coma and you're like, if it's your time, you can go. Except I'm saying it to my able-bodied white male friend.
Yeah. You're 40-year-old male friends where you're like, you're not going to make it in comedy, so you might as well just fucking do
it. I'm saying it to bleep this.
Oh, love you.
Love you. Love you. You
he's
have
the
to
one
kill
who would
some...
do it, though. I don't know if you've met
him. He dances on the edge. Of
I am familiar with... I'm not like friends with him or anything, but I've met him.
His Instagram is unhinged, and I love it as an unhinged Instagram person, but he's so close. He's so close to committing a political act of violence.
You know, Instagram is a great way to really keep tab on your friends, so it's like, oh, you're not well today, are you?
Yeah.
Like,
it's like,
I mean, I'll find myself with that where it's like, I haven't posted anything on my story, and then like it's like... all the reasons I'm pissed about this article right now about nothing. And it's like, oh my God. Like, nobody's heard from you in days. And this is the first thing you're popping on to say.
Like, it's like, you can tell I forgot to go for a walk.
I didn't take my Lexapro this morning, did I?
Oh, I'm famously scary on Instagram. Yeah. I'm a good follow. I'm going to say that. I'm a good follow because it'll be silent for a while. And then it'll be so many stories that they're a dot. I'm a real dot bitch. Pedophiles.
And the text is this big.
Yes.
And it's like,
pedophiles. Oh, Gaza.
Pedophiles.
Pedophiles in Gaza.
Pedophiles.
Shout out.
This will never
that
be
that was
monetized.
The name of the first name of the podcast, right? It was Pedophiles.
Pedophiles, Gaza.
And for some reason, the algorithm hated it.
I don't know. We're shadow banned? I don't know why.
Even 4chan was like, enough, you guys.
You know what would be awesome is if Portnoy came for us because of this.
Oh, that would be to go head to head with
Portnoy. To have
Portnoy.
Dave Portnoy call me fat so I could be famous.
Oh, gosh.
My kingdom for Dave Portnoy to call me fat.
It is really like, a friend of mine recently started going viral, and she's a Middle Eastern woman, and she's like, I'm getting sucked into the right wing fucking algorithms. And I'm like, good. Respond to them. Or don't respond and let the other girlies fight with them. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They're literally boosting you. Like, if you get pulled into right-wing algo and then left-wing girls come in, then they follow you and they all fight and it boosts.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I'm like, these morons are like helping a woman-owned business.
Totally.
Yeah.
And they have no idea.
You do have to give it a day for the girls to show up.
Yes.
Yeah, you got to fight for your life in there first.
You have to fight for your fucking life in there.
Is anybody aware that I'm being abused? Yeah.
And by that, I mean you have to throw your phone down the sewer and stop looking at it. Because I got that bad once. I had a clip go viral, and it was just like America's worst men saying horrible shit about me. Mm-hmm. And I was like, And then 2 days later, the girls did show up.
They show up.
But you got to give them time.
And then you're sitting there kind of being like, did all I do today is create a space for just the most unhinged discourse that happened?
I
just created a little internet pocket where people are saying horrible things to each other.
Oh, sorry. I was trying to
it's
do
not
my
even
art.
About my bit anymore.
Yeah,
it's like, hey, guys.
No, literally, it has nothing to do with me. You know it has nothing to do with you because the comments are third person.
Right.
The comments are never like, you're not funny. They're like, she's fat.
And
you're like, hey, King, who do you think posted this?
Right.
Yeah, this is a one-to-one app, right?
This is literally like you're texting me.
Literally, it's like, how do you have access to be in on my phone?
I
got it bad, too. When one of the first things I ever was, my first, like, big opportunity was to do the Netflix as a Joke introducing showcase in 2022. And I was not very long into comedy at that point. I was not very long into my transition at that point. Very sensitive time in my life. And, you know... at the time, I don't know how they put them out now, but at the time, they were only putting them out on Facebook and YouTube. These sets.
Whoa, Facebook?
I was like, you couldn't put me on TikTok and Instagram where, like, the people who want to see me are, like, putting them on fucking Facebook and and they YouTube.
They sacrificed you.
I keep saying, I have many times been used as the sacrificial lamb of engagement.
Yeah, yeah. And it
it's
was
such a thing.
And I think, I don't remember if I was the first one to go out of the group, but anyway, it was like, they would put it out at like, it was like midnight LA time. So 3 in the perfect. Morning, East Coast. So it's like perfect. Just the gremlins of the internet who are up there being like, what's Netflix's The Joke got to say?
Yeah.
And then just like the war, I was just like, oh, is this the rest of my life? Is this? And like, obviously it gets easier with, I mean, sure. it doesn't, but.
And
like,
your people show up and then your stuff goes to them. But my, I haven't opened Facebook since my Don't Tell set was put on there.
Bro.
Because that's just none of my business.
Yeah. Oh my God.
When it's none of my fucking business what those people think about me.
That was like some of the most deranged, I was like, the brain rot that's happening on Facebook.
It's really sad.
It needs
it's
to be
actually
studied.
Really sad. Yeah. It makes me very upset.
And what's crazy
people
is
are gone.
No, I, so yeah, gone.
They're gone.
It's
they're
crazy.
Gone.
Yeah.
They're gone and there's no coming back. I didn't even know that I was so not on Facebook, Gen Z cusp.
Yeah, sure.
I didn't even know that the sets went out to Facebook.
I didn't either until I got a tag thing and I was like,
Then somebody DM'd me, another comic DM'd me and was like, hey, your set is like really going viral on Facebook. You should keep posting clips on Facebook because it's like, I guess it's the easiest one to monetize.
Yes, it is.
So this person was like trying to help me. So I was like, oh, my set's going viral on Facebook. Let me, and before I even read, I read any comments, I saw how long they all were and I was like, that's not for me.
No.
That's just simply not
it's
for
not
me.
I'm not interested in a paragraph.
What I love about Lizzie's comedy
it's never gonna be somebody being like, and the other thing about her voice is it's so unique.
I really actually like it.
Yeah.
I love the sound of women's voices and I support them.
And I just knew, I was like, this is not a space for me and so I can't monetize it. That's okay. Yeah. I'll find another thing.
It's not going to be the avenue for me either. I don't even know how many people are making new Facebook accounts or anything like younger people. I don't even know.
I should make a new Facebook account. I should rage bait so hard on Facebook that is how I ascend. People are going to be like, how did Andrea blow up? And they're like, fucking Facebook, dude.
Well, it's so
crazy.
It's so annoying too, because, and sorry for the inside baseball, but you love it.
Mm-hmm. I'll get
unsolicited advice where comics are like, you know, all my ticket sales are from Facebook. And I'm like, yes, straight, white, clean comedian.
Right. In your 40s.
You think that that would fucking work for my ass?
No, no.
My bangs having fucking, all my jokes are about how men are evil and the government's pedophiles, Gaza. You think that's going to work for me?
It's
going to
be your episode title. It's going to be pedophiles, and it's getting 4 listens. Yes. I'm so sorry.
That's like the worst thing. It's like when like a straight cis dude comedian who like is clean and can play to any room in any audience is like, here's some advice for you. Like,
and they've done the hacks. They're like, if you hashtag, I'm like, suck my fucking dick. Hashtag the location that you're, I just want to be good enough at comedy so I don't have to get like a marketing degree in dork. Yeah.
No, totally,
like what the fuck
totally.
Is this shit?
And it's like, unless your identity is a porn category, I don't want to hear it. Like,
yeah,
I don't want to hear
it.
Like, you don't have the same like interface, like you don't have to deal with the internet in the same way.
Yeah.
I don't want to hear it.
And even off the internet, I was doing shows in Memphis at obviously an art gallery because it was like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was like, this is
not McChuckles fuck shack or whatever.
It was like, the people of Memphis who want me know about this place. We're going to come together and have a nice time.
Yeah.
But then
it's the only place in town that sells kombucha.
Literally. And then like one of the guys who was helping run the show was like, you have to do my room in deep Mississippi. And I was like,
I don't.
Hey, that's actually not going to be good for anyone involved.
Yeah.
The audience is going to ask for their money back. I'm going to get killed.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to get literally a rock bashed into my head. And then you're going to have to live with that for the rest of your life. Why would you want that? Like, I can do art gallery in Memphis. Memphis is a cultural hub.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I can't do some gymnasium in deep Mississippi.
I'm
okay with that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I'm not above it.
No, I've made peace with the fact that I can't go everywhere and I won't go everywhere and that I can't do every, like, that's just not going to be my path. And I, like, it's just like, I don't. In some ways, it's like, well, thank God. I guess I'll never have to go to, like, these random places.
Well, it's also like, that's not a sign you're doing awesome. No offense, because I'll do a gymnasium in Memphis any day, but it's not like, finally, I've ascended to the gymnasium in Memphis.
It's weirdly kind of like the end of both spectrums where it's like, when you're first starting out and you don't have anywhere else to go, you go to these places. And then when you're really big, you can go anywhere.
You can go back.
You
can go back.
And you can actually sell tickets.
And your people come. And one of the things I, and I've said this before, but one of the things I have learned by doing comedy on the road is there are people like us everywhere and they're just underrepresented. And like, we should go to those places and they should be able to go to shows and not have to see a Christian comic doing airplane jokes or like anti-trans or anti-gay or racist material. But also, I'm not going there until you people know about me.
Until your butts are buying tickets and in those seats, I'm not coming.
Or if it's like I did a show in Jacksonville, Florida, that was produced by a great comic named Daisy Tackett, who's cool and hip and like us. And the show was in a lingerie store. Cool. So it's like, I can do that. I know that I can do that. I know that some lady with a shaved head is going to be the first person in the room and I'm going to go, yes, my audience is here, but I can't do the Chuckle Hut there. I just can't. And I don't want to.
It's also like, you know, there's obviously it's nice if the venue can help out with ticket sales and like get people there, but it's like, I don't necessarily trust who you guys are going to invite out to this.
Facebook ads.
To just show up. And it's like, at least I guess like I'm doing the screening for them by being like, I'm a trans guy. So like, I'm not coming to that. But like, it's like, I'm not going to just like let this open to whomever in Jacksonville wants to show up.
Sure. With a gun.
And unfortunately, I do read as cop wife if you're not gay. So sometimes those people see me and they go, we're going to love this. And then they show up and I'm like,
gotcha.
Yeah, I have religious imagery tattooed on me. It's ironic.
That's hilarious.
I mean, that is why I am doing the Riyadh Comedy Festival, because I want to represent bisexual women with husbands.
Who are getting stoned to death.
This is a woman who backs the blue, and you're like, actually.
I voted
blue. Is that helpful? Yeah.
I love the excuse for going to the Riyadh Comedy Festival that was like, a gay person performed here and they don't get to see gay people. I love that. It's a, what a loophole you are worming through.
It's so much cooler to me to be like, I needed $1 million. I've been doing online gambling.
Like I'm in debt. I would so much.
I
want to
buy a new boat.
It's like, just tell us honestly. I don't need to give. I don't need your PR reason.
Woking it up when you went to the. Oh my God! God bless.
I will say this about stand-up comedy specifically. I do think everybody gets one big bag. Everybody can sell out for one big bag. So if you, if I went to Riyadh, it'd be different than someone who's already than Dave Chappelle going. If one of my friends went, I'd go. You get one big bag. Then you get to use that money to do things that you stand behind.
I mean, if Riyadh picked like a bunch of up-and-comers who needed $300,000, I'd say, guys, get over there.
Get over there. Do your best.
Do whatever you can.
Just kill the Shah. Go over there fucking sideways. Shoot the Shah in the face. And get out.
But it wasn't that. Not going to be that. Hey, if you're an up-and-coming comedian and someone offers you $300,000 to do something, get the fuck out of there.
Don't click that link. Trafficked. Do not click that link.
Trafficked. But
yeah. Well, I have a respectfully segment if we want to start doing those.
Yeah, I do. Absolutely.
I've been thinking about this a lot lately. And I will preface this by saying I'm a caller. I'll call. Call anybody.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll call you. I'll talk to you on the phone. I'm a big phone call guy. My hands are full. And I can't read. So I'm calling on the phone. But I'll say this. If you have a person in your life who has, in one way or another, suffered immense tragedy, and by that I mean a dead parent, a dead best friend, a dead sibling, whatever. If you are going to do an out-of-nowhere phone call, you got to follow up with a text that says not urgent. This is a thing that I'm noticing that people don't know about. Like, I have a dead parent and a dead, very close best friend. So when I get a call me now text, my brain goes, somebody died.
Of course.
100%. Right? And I've learned that a lot of other people have this sort of like phone trauma.
Oh, yeah.
Because the worst news of your life you found out over the phone. So I know that other people have this. So I'm just, I would sort of implore you to send a follow-up text. One of my friends, my friend David Drake, comedian, I don't think he's been on the show, but whatever, he's got like a million specials on YouTube. He has a kid, so his schedule is very different than mine. Mm-hmm. And he called me once at 8 a.m.
Oh my God.
Called me at 8 a.m. We have a mutual dead best friend. I was like, I thought our other friends were all dead.
Yes.
So he calls me at 8 a.m. I wake up, I answer it, and I'm like, what happened? And he was like, oh, were you asleep? I'll call you later. And then he was making fun of me.
No.
Wrong. He was making fun of me. He was like, you get a phone call at 8 a.m. You think somebody died? Jesus Christ. And then the phone call was literally about planning a memorial show for our dead friend.
So, okay.
I was like, okay, so someone died. Yeah. You literally called me because somebody died.
You've gotten the call. Also, famously,
I've never been wrong.
Yeah. My parent is dead.
Yeah.
Asshole.
Yeah.
But I got a Zoom call when my parent was dead, so it's a different thing.
Yeah.
How do you guys feel if somebody just calls you in the middle of the day? Is that nice? Is that a good thing for a friend to do?
I guess it totally depends who it is. Like,
yeah.
I mean, I don't mind an out of the blue call. I think like it, yeah, I enjoy, as long as it's not something I like, I work with or something, like that's always like, oh God, why are you calling me? But like a friend or something like that, yeah. But I'm with you. If you just call and you don't leave a voicemail or you don't send a text after of like why you called, I'm like, yeah, did something happen?
Yeah.
Especially if it's out of the blue and it's like an old friend or something, it's like, oh fuck, what happened?
And I am realizing right now that this respectfully is directed only towards my mother.
My mom
is a big fan of a text that says, call me right now.
Yeah, same.
Hey, lady.
Parents love to do that.
Hey, lady, you can't do that to me.
Can you call me?
Yes.
The four worst words coming out of your boomer-ass parents' mouth.
As soon as I see that, I imagine my entire life falling to pieces.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then I call and it's like, God, I'm trying to think of the last reason. It was, I called and she goes, do you have your phone set up so it'll work when you're in Europe? I was like,
could have been a text, first of all.
Yeah.
Thanks, mom.
First of all, could have been a text. Second of all, of course I do. Have you ever seen me not be on my phone?
That's
Why
true.
Would I have not looked
that
into this?
That is the
this?
One time Lizzie is fucking on top of her shit. It's the vape or the phone.
It's always like,
I bought five vapes.
Of course you did.
I'm bringing five vapes to you.
Yeah. You're going to fucking like strap them to yourself like a bomb.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, they go through TSA fine.
Yeah.
Just don't put them in your checked.
Yeah, it was always like your mom texting me like, call me right now, and it's like the neighbor's got a new dog, and it's like,
yeah,
I didn't need that.
Or it's like your friend from kindergarten's cousin's dad died.
Remember him? Yeah,
and you're like, I thought you were dying.
She's like, yeah, it was a long battle, but then it's like, I don't even know who we're talking about anymore. Like, my cortisol is through the roof. Thank you very much.
And it's really interesting too. I live with a man, my boyfriend, not just a guy.
He came with the place. Yeah. New York's
rent stabilized, baby.
Yeah, the things we do.
We sleep in the same bed with a pillow wall between us. I live with my boyfriend who has, and he will say this, not had a very hard life in terms of these things. He's not like, you know, the closest person who's died is a grandparent. Mm-hmm. And God bless, and I hope it stays that way forever. His mom could text him, call me right now. And he would think it was, did you get your phone set up to go to Europe? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like he would be like, oh, I forgot to run an errand for my mom. And it's just so interesting to watch. Like my boyfriend will be like, we'll be hanging out and he'll be like, oh, I'm going to call my mom. And then another time we'll be hanging out and I'll be like, I'm going to call my mom.
Yeah.
Stay in the room.
Yep.
Make sure nothing happens. Watch me. Watch my face.
Yeah.
While I do this. It's just like such an entirely different experience.
It's also like in general, it's one of those things that I find like a lot of straight guys don't. I mean, obviously, plenty of straight men have been through traumatic things, whatever.
And we recognize you.
Listen, I recognize your pain and I wouldn't come for you.
I know, you're a war veteran.
Yes, if
whatever.
You're here because of our Dave Portnoy chat, we see you.
We see you, we hear you, we love you.
Yes. But it's like one of those things where it's like, I just like growing up in the world as anybody who's not in that category, I think you just have this natural sort of like things,
bad things happen.
I'm on edge. Like something bad can happen at any moment. Things do happen. And then whereas like straight guys are just like, yeah, it's like whatever, you know, nothing bad. Like,
they
don't even have it in them to even conceive.
Of the worst case scenario.
Right.
They've never had to plan 17 steps. Also, they're not helping out family members when someone's in the hospital.
Hello.
So they're never like,
and
oh,
speak
I'm
on
gonna
that.
Have to fucking take a plane or blah, 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 blah.
Right.
Literally every tragedy, I am like, on fucking Google booking a red eye and every man in my
that's the
mom's
thing.
Life is
they're not the receiver of the phone call
yeah
because they live with your mom and still aren't taking care
yeah,
of
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Legit. They live with the parents. They see it happen.
Not an exaggeration.
Then you have to go clean up
from New York to Vancouver, British Columbia. Andrea yeah. goes.
Or Albany, yeah. which is closer, but a worse place.
Yeah, it is certainly a worse place.
Yeah.
I do love, the call I love, though, is the call from the wacky friend. Mm-hmm. I have a good little pack of wacky friends from every part of my life.
A whack pack.
Yeah,
shout out Howard Stern.
Shout out. Shout out
Howard
Stern. Listening? Shout out.
Inventor of the form that we're now pursuing.
I know.
I'm kidding. It was Wendy Williams' mother.
Yes. Thank you. And thank you. But I love a wacky friend. I see my phone and I'm like, Maddie Menifee. Yeah. Okay.
That's yeah. fun. And I've been thinking about this a lot. And I think a way to circumvent, if you have a friend who has fear in their heart and sort of is awaiting another shoe to drop constantly in their life, I never think it's bad news if it's a FaceTime. Then I go.
True.
Then
I go.
We're queening out.
Yeah,
we're queening
yeah, yeah,
out.
Yeah,
what
yeah,
is
yeah,
this?
Someone got a haircut and they're not sure about
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Or it's like you have like true. Wild shit to talk
That's
and you
so
had
true.
To call me.
Yes.
Because there's something about the like. That doesn't make you feel like.
Yeah.
Are you sitting?
You know, like. But the cold vibrate of
the phone
call
is just like, and just like the black screen of like, hello. Like that is giving bad news. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Hey.
My mom will never FaceTime.
There should
FaceTime
be like a bad
me.
News phone, like a separate
yes,
line.
Yes, a burner.
This is why I've been saying we need
home
landlines.
Phones, home
we
phones.
Need landlines. Yes. Landlines are built for bad news.
Yeah,
you're right.
To be able to hold
going
a cord.
The corner,
yes.
Hold on a second.
No.
He's gone.
A fainting.
When?
A landline and a fainting couch.
That's
in the corner
yeah,
of your apartment.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And a cigarette.
Yeah.
One of those long ones.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Cigarettes next to the landline
yes,
by the fainting
yes,
couch.
Yes,
if you find me there,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Someone's died.
Someone's gone. But you're doing well, thank
yeah,
God.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You walk into my apartment and I go, he's gone.
Yeah.
And it's fine.
It's always giving widow, even if it's not
yeah,
your
yeah,
husband.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was talking to my boyfriend about I'm going on this trip to Europe and I was just sort of like, I made him my emergency contact on the flight thing instead of my mother.
That's a weird moment, huh?
It is a weird
Big
moment.
Step, yeah.
Yeah.
And I had to be like, hey, if you got a phone call that my plane crashed in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean, what's your next step?
Right.
Because yeah, yeah,
I need to know that you know what the next step is, which is call my mom. And that is what he said.
Sure.
And then sort of figure it out from there. But
and he says, kill myself and you, though. That's fucking
well, that,
right.
Well, he actually did say, he yeah, did say kill
the
myself.
The correct answer is swim into the Atlantic,
yeah,
you dumb
yeah.
fuck.
He said, I don't know, kill myself. And then I was like, call my mom and then kill yourself.
You selfish fuck.
Yeah. She's going to think I'm not texting her back.
She's going to think own. I didn't figure out the phone thing and I was lying to her.
Yeah,
okay.
Literally. But it was like one of these things. So I'm like, I'm asking him all these questions and he goes, you and he was like lovingly he was like you sort of have a tendency to go worst case scenario whenever you think about anything.
Same,
you catastrophize
hello.
It yeah. and I was like hello
yes.
my life has been medium worst case scenario
yeah, yeah.
the
yeah.
whole time
yeah.
yep.
And then it's just so interesting to live with someone who whose brain is like and then the plane will land and we'll have a nice time.
What I would give
you know?
Yeah
what
yeah.
I would give.
Sometimes he falls asleep so quickly I worry he's stupid.
Yep.
I know, it's like you're not ruminating on anything.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
You have nothing to think about.
You're just lights out. Oh, that was a good day.
Yeah, you're not hypomanic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Posting Instagram stories about Gaza. What are you even doing?
Yeah.
Are you
what
not
are you
even changing
doing?
The world like me
that's
by
like
spinning out?
The other thing that's nice about dating women, it's like, oh, I didn't, like when I put my girlfriend as my, I'm like, I know she knows what to
oh,
do.
Oh, my God.
I don't have to worry about that for a damn second.
Yep.
She knows. It's
but
also
the other thing, it's like, if you have a boyfriend, it's like, okay, who's a better person in this case? Like, should it be my mom or should it be my boyfriend?
Yeah, right.
Like, who is a better, who's actually going to answer that?
Yeah.
Like, know
right.
what to do. Yeah.
Yeah. And who's going to know what to do? And that's why his first call should be to my mom. But then I'm like, my mom doesn't know any of my friends.
Yeah.
Like,
mm-hmm.
so it has to, and my mom, like, my mom wouldn't think to call my boyfriend, I don't think, until
no.
like later.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know what I mean? But
yeah.
he would think to call her first, which is why I put it. But fuck. Oh, that also reminds me. I saw a TikTok where a girl was like, the good thing about having already had kind of a bad life, this girl was like, you have to know that the man you marry is the man who's going to be there when your parents die.
Yeah.
Is that the man you want next to you when your parents die? And I was like, I already got one before he showed up.
Right.
I'm like, I know how this works.
Sure.
Yeah.
And I was sort of half dating a loser when my dad died.
Yeah.
And it's like, you really don't.
You really don't.
If you're dating a loser right now, your dad could die.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah. Think about
and
that.
And you don't want the last man your dad meant to be a 43-year-old bartender when you're 21.
It's not ideal.
And he had to go, I guess if you're happy.
Yeah.
I just wanted to see my baby girl live to see happiness.
You don't want to do the thing I did where you're asking the guy you're dating to not come to the funeral because it would make it worse.
That's brutal.
Isn't that brutal?
Yeah. I mean, I was
But it's what I needed to
how
end
much,
it.
How much longer did you date after that?
I don't think it was that much longer.
No.
It wasn't. No. Because I was 3 months sober. By the way.
Wow.
Yeah. Dang. Super fun.
I was 3 months sober and I ended up officially fully ending things with this guy based on the fact that I was sober and he wasn't.
Yeah.
So I think it was like a few months after my dad died.
It was a nail in the coffin.
Literally.
Pun intended.
Literally.
I mean, I was FaceTiming. Famously, I was FaceTiming with my husband when his dad died, and my husband was in a hotel room with me when my dad came on Zoom and was like, I'm going to kill myself, and we were in Las Vegas.
Oh, my God.
That was within the first year of us dating.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So I was like, oh, this is an adult.
No, it was later because right after your dad died, you got engaged.
Yeah. And nothing to look
and
into
nothing
there.
Nothing to look into
that,
there.
It ended up working out, but boy, could that have been a red flag. But my husband is a father and like a full grown adult.
Yeah.
And I was just, we both just like had parents die, but his parent dying was like a much more reasonable, like the timing was like, and he handled it like an adult. And it was, I was kind of like, it was part of me being like, you marry this man.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, if you want to get married, this man will do the things. This man will show up. This man, like,
right,
is a human being and not, like, a failed musician.
Or, this God forbid, is, comedian.
God forbid, I would never. So,
well, but you date women, so you're fine.
I'm fine.
Yeah,
I'm
you're totally fine.
Thank
oh my God.
You have a girlfriend.
The greatest blessing. Yes,
she's
Maddie.
Gonna know exactly
she's
what to do.
Yeah.
She's gonna know exactly.
She's
what to
also
say.
Like more like I'm pretty anxious and ruminate and think about all these things, but she's like more. I'm a little bit more chill when it comes to like the unknown or the future or death in general. I thought it was like it doesn't
beautiful.
As much versus she's a little bit more. So on top of that. She's on top for shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
She's already
yeah.
up there working on that.
It's good to be with an anxious lady because we have thought about it so much that when it happens, we know what to do.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
When my mom called me and said my dad was dying, I was like, unfortunately, I do know exactly what I would do in this situation.
Yeah.
Because
I've been looking out of school bus windows in the rain thinking about this for years.
Literally.
You're like, oh, good thing I am already typed out the obituary one night when I was feeling moody.
I was going to say, literally, me writing my dad's eulogy on the train where I've imagined writing my dad's eulogy every time he's dropped me off at the train.
My dad famously threatened to die so many times that when it finally happened.
Your
I was
dad's
going,
big thing was dying.
Oh, he loved dying. It was his fucking thing. It was his shtick.
Yeah.
And so when it finally happened, I was kind of like, well, at least we're not waiting for it.
Yeah.
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 But
that's how I feel about appendicitis. I would love to get my appendix out so that I'm not waiting for it.
Preemptive. Yeah.
Yeah. Elective.
Yeah. Elective appendectomy.
It's kind of crazy because you don't need your appendix for anything. So we could just get them out. Yeah.
We could just be getting them out. And I love surgery.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm a drug addict. I love
Let's get
surgery.
Organs out for fun. Let's see. Do I really
how
need
how many
this?
Can we go?
This is the new game show.
Start with the appendix.
Do you really need it?
Yeah.
Do you really need
and
it?
And then do one kidney. And then it's going to get good.
Half a liver? I don't need it. Yeah. Give it to somebody else.
Slice the lung
Who
out.
Cares?
Late stage capitalism.
Really test that sobriety. See how half a liver is good for you. Yeah.
Half a liver and a lot of fentanyl post surgery.
Yeah.
That sounds fun.
Oh, God.
Nico, did you bring us an opinion?
I do.
Yes.
Okay.
Bring an opinion to the cold.
Respectfully, New York City needs to reclaim its name as a city that never sleeps.
Thank you.
Oh my God. Yes.
Something happened during the pandemic that made everybody think that we're living in suburbia where shops can stop or like can close up at 9.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. There are so many pizza spots in my neighborhood where I'll come out after a show. It's not even that late. It's like 11 p.m.
Yeah.
I know.
And they're fucking closed. There's a pizza shop in my neighborhood that every day closes at 9 p.m.
Yes. Crazy.
I'm like, is this a lunch
you
spot?
Should go
are
out of business.
Okay?
Yes.
Right?
Who's doing pizza lunch?
Yeah. Right? It's
what's
like, why are your hours 11 to 9?
Yes.
Like, who is eating these big, thick grandma slices for lunch?
Ugh.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I am really, I feel like there's too many places that are not staying open late enough and they're not catering to the nightlife. And they're
I
not,
agree.
And especially pizza shops.
Yeah. I completely agree with this. And I'll tell you what happened during the pandemic. What happened is a bunch of people moved to New York City. because they started working remotely and they were like, I can live in my apartment in New York and work remotely. And I've always said this, you people are not working and you work from home people, you're not working and you're not at home. Mm-hmm. You're in the fucking coffee shop where I'm trying to be because I've curated an artistic lifestyle where I get to be in the coffee shop at 2 p.m. And you don't go out late. So the places close early and you've, These people who live in these high rises have turned, the high rise is a suburb.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean?
It's a vertical suburb.
It's a vertical suburb. Your gym is there. Your whatever. I've never been in one. Your gym, it's, your co-working space, your laundry, it's all in the same building. And it's
DoorDashers coming in and out.
DoorDashers coming in and out. Yeah. You don't even go down to the lobby to get it from the DoorDasher. Your doorman brings it up to you. You've created this little suburban civilization in a major city. You have to go get pizza at midnight.
Or go to Austin.
Or move to the fucking suburbs, which you will anyway.
Skedaddle.
What are you doing here?
Don't waste any more of your money or our time. Get out of here.
There's literally nothing I love more in this life than getting dinner at 11:30 p.m. There's nothing
and
I
when
love
you,
more.
And when you come across these New York establishments that still keep their doors open until 3 a.m., you're like, fucking finally. Thank God.
Fucking finally. And I'll never name them on this podcast because they're mine.
Yeah, exactly. No, there's a burrito truck by me that's doing the Lord's work. It's open until 2 a.m. every night. You guys are who I need when I come home from late spots.
And also, it's not just us freaky weirdos who are up late at night.
No.
My boyfriend works till 11 p.m. and he's a doorman.
Yeah.
Where's he supposed to go?
Exactly.
Where is he supposed to go to eat
and
at night?
And it's often, you know, the people that are working these late night jobs that need the 99-cent slice and need the like that. And it's like, you guys got to stay open.
That's
you
exactly
gotta
right.
You got to stay open for people that are working these weird hours.
It's not riffraff friendly. New York City has always been riffraff friendly. Yeah. People on the fringes.
Yes.
I say that affectionately.
Yeah.
And like, it's odd because I kind of hoped a little bit that New York City would slide into more dangerous 80s territory
and
during the pandemic.
It almost did. We almost had it.
Yeah.
We almost had it all. There was a time during the pandemic when Times Square was the most dangerous neighborhood in New York
again. It was freaky.
And I was like, we're so fucking
back, dude. Baby.
I unloaded a full can of pepper spray on a guy in Times Square and I was like, we are so fucking back.
Yes.
Was I going to a party during COVID because I was a drug addict? You bet your white ass
sure.
I was. But listen, I got to unload a clip of pepper spray on a guy who was trying to grab me. And I was like, New York City has never been more back. Everybody's gonna leave. We're all gonna get affordable housing. And instead, you people brought your doodles and your kids.
God damn
you
it.
You brought your doodles and your kids to my freak city.
VC-backed fucking pizza shop that's open from 11 to 9.
Literally.
And everything is Instagram fronted.
I have to download an app to get pizza from your pizza place that closes at 9.
Literally. I'm pretty sure two of the days it closes at 8. It's
insane.
We should burn it down.
It's beyond.
Burn it down.
We should burn it down.
It's so crazy. A lot of great pizza. It's just and it's also like it's in a neighborhood where there's a lot of good pizza, so I'm like, how are you guys staying in business? I'm telling you, it must be VC
money laundering.
It has
VC.
To be.
It's gotta be.
New money laundering is VC. Yeah,
it's got
for sure.
It's got all the bells and whistles of a venture capitalist place, you know?
Like, yes, it's clean.
Like, I'm telling you, I've walked by there with my girlfriend the other day because we were like, oh, maybe we'll go to, I don't forget where we ended up going instead, but we were like, let's just go see. I bet that place is closed. And we walked by and they were literally sweeping up at like 8 o'clock and I was like, you motherfuckers.
Yes.
I mean,
this is New York goddamn city.
I know.
And look at the West Village, by the way.
Yeah.
The West Village used to mean something to
people. I know.
Stonewall is in the West Village.
I know.
Okay. There was a time where the West Village was where you lived. If you were like, my mom wants me to be a stay-at-home mother, but I dream of being a poet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'm going to share needles. And all adventurous women do.
And
okay,
I get AIDS. It's fine.
It's fine. Everyone here has it. We're gonna start a community.
Burn bright and then go early.
There was a time
no
when
one's getting AIDS or getting pizza at midnight in New York City.
Pizza.
What the fuck?
Because everybody who lives in the West Village is gonna move to Connecticut in 2 years, and it's driving me fucking insane.
No, it's horrible. Yeah. It's
these
horrible.
Are like, and I'm like, I'm not even like trying to be funny right now. These are like historic places.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like the West Village is a historic queer place. The West Village is a place where like gay people and drag and like, and Stonewall and all of these things, like they only happened because they could happen there.
Yeah.
And the East Village was a place where those people moved when the Village became too expensive and they invented the East Village. And the East Village became a place for like punks and weirdos and people who who are on a month-to-month lease paying $120 rent and didn't have hot water and they liked it, you know? And now if I go to the fucking East Village now, I want to put a gun in my mouth so bad.
It's horrible.
Because it's a bunch of Republican guys and beautiful women who are for some reason trying to fuck these guys.
I know. And it's like, can you all move to Austin or Nashville?
Just move to Nashville.
Yeah.
Like, they're waiting for you with open arms and cowboy hats. Get
God,
down
they love
you.
God, they love you down there.
Get down there. Yeah.
And you know who they don't like down there? Us.
Yeah. No, we need to stay here. Yeah.
We need to stay here.
Yeah. It sucks because it's like, it really is like just, I mean, it's the way that so many things are going, just being stripped of all its character. And churned back to us in some sort of packaged, you know,
weird
sweet
Instagram
thing.
Branded.
Yeah. Everything's beige. Everybody's in a matching suit. Everybody, yeah.
The girlies have the Reeboks, the leggings, the sweatshirt, the tight hair.
Like in the city, and you'll see these groups of straight men or straight women, and it's like, do y'all know you're all wearing the same outfit?
Yeah, it's kind
of
amazing.
Do you know you're all wearing the same outfit?
And also, do you know you're in New York fucking city?
Yeah.
Do you have any idea that you're in New York fucking city right now?
Do you have any care or joie de vivre or like want to have your own personal brand? Like,
because
you just want to be one of you could be one of 1,000 girls in Nashville that looks the same.
Yeah.
Move to Boston. They'll love you in Boston.
Move to Boston.
Every girl in Boston is wearing light wash jeans and a black t-shirt. Not that I'm doing that right now.
Yeah.
But they are. And they're wearing white sneakers and a leather jacket and they're having fun. And that's where they belong.
Kind of crazy to me because that was like the party uniform when I was in college.
I know.
Yeah. So it's like that hasn't evolved at all.
No.
Jeans and a cute top is what we're still doing.
Yeah. I know. I mean, I guess it's timeless for a reason, but still, like,
but still,
throw something on it.
I toured one of these. I accidentally toured one of these like high rise suburban. I only saw the apartment unit. Mm-hmm. And it had like exposed brick and a spiral staircase. So I was like, surely it's for people like me, you know? Mm-hmm. I was like, this isn't for people who want like a nice apartment with central air conditioning. These are for people that want to live in a sitcom and blah, blah, blah. So I went toward this apartment. It was one of these buildings that has like, not only did it have a gym and a co-working space and whatever, it also had like a little party room. With like a pool table.
Yeah.
And you can like rent out the party room.
They always have a little fucking party room.
You can rent out the party room.
A little pizza party with your fucking.
It's like a robot was like, this is what humans do.
Yeah, it's AI. It's exactly like that. It's an AI building.
AI VC.
You know when you hang out with your tenant mates.
Yeah.
The common space.
Yep. And you guys, when I tell you where this fucking building was, it was in deep Bushwick.
Of course.
Of course. I know so many of those.
Can freaks have nothing?
Yeah, no, freaks can have nothing.
Can freaks have nothing if we can't have Bushwick? And I know we took it and that's bad. But if we can't, and I understand that that's bad and genuinely it should be Puerto Rican people and not us. But if freaks can't have Bushwick, what the fuck can we have?
I know. It's pretty, I mean, there's so many of those like buildings that look like if you blew on them, they'd just fall right over.
Yes, exactly.
And I am so over the like, it's again, it's all this venture capitalist bullshit, but it's like, I am an adult. I don't want to look like I'm living in a dorm. I don't want a building that looks like a dorm. I don't want funky colors on the windows. Yeah. I want some
funky decal bullshit.
Literally, it's like, make a brick building like they used to. Nice old concrete like they used to. Renovate the real buildings that they still have. Like, I don't want to look like I'm in my first dorm.
There was a time during COVID where monkeypox was going around.
Hell yeah.
And I was like, we're back, baby.
We're so back.
Oh, we got a gay disease? We're so back.
And you had to like, you had to tell a nurse that you fuck gay guys to get a vaccine. 100%. That was so fun.
I was at a gymnasium.
That was so fun.
With my then boyfriend being like, we're about to go to Berlin and I'm not that straight.
Yeah.
And give me
we're getting
like
the
quarter dose of the vaccine that I'm stealing from a gay person.
Hey, if you're about to go to Berlin, get everything. Yeah. Get every shot.
Yeah. I was like,
get
the full
shot.
Menu of whore stuff. But he is, I biked to a gymnasium in East New York and was getting the gay vax. And I had just left a poker party in Times Square in the middle of the night filled with the scariest men I've ever seen in my life. And I was just like, you know what? I feel both the worst I've ever felt and like kind of the best I've ever felt.
But it was such a great time to live in New York City because it was like those people did leave.
Yeah.
Before they came back, they did leave.
Yeah.
They all had somewhere to go.
Yeah.
So they left. And then those of us who didn't have a place to go were still here. And we were like, we were actually following the precautions.
I was joking
about it earlier, but we were like, once it was like, hey, you can meet 10 friends in a park.
Yeah.
We were like, oh my God, it's all fucking gay people.
Yeah.
Or like, it's, you know, or,
weird
or
girls,
people who are from
gay
here.
People.
It's weird girls, gay people, and people who are born here.
Yeah.
And we're having a nice fucking time.
Yeah. We're having
we're
a
like
nice
barbecuing
time.
And having a nice time.
Yeah.
And then all these fucking people came back and now it's so toast.
Yeah. It is.
It really sucks. Anytime I walk around, if I have to walk around, like downtown Manhattan on a Saturday, it makes me irate.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It makes me genuinely...
God, you said joie de vivre and irate. You are so fucking smart. Oh, my God. Continue, but I just...
College!
I just wanted to go ahead and make a note of it.
Gotta use that degree for something. Yeah, it makes me my blood boil. It's like, yeah, it's, yeah. Because I also like I went to college in North Carolina, and I went to a very like, you know, just like a school with a lot of rich kids. And yeah. I feel like I moved to New York to get away from this shit.
Yeah, yes. I know.
Why are y'all following me?
I know.
Here?
It's the Friendsgiving of everything too. Like, I feel like Friendsgiving is like all people who have boring day jobs. Friendsgiving used to be like people who have been cast out from their home.
Yeah.
And sure, so
yeah,
they're yeah, all yeah, like around a rotisserie chosen chicken family that yeah, they can yes, afford.
Friendsgiving is not supposed to be two Saturdays after Thanksgiving so you can all go to Connecticut, see your parents, pet yep, your childhood dog, come back and yeah, then do something with your friends.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be in place of family.
Yeah, it yes, needs to be
you
on
have
Thanksgiving
a chosen
day,
family. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. And if you can't come because you're with your family, then it wasn't for you.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was never supposed to be for you.
Yeah. No.
It's so, wait, and the other thing about walking around downtown Manhattan and becoming irate, which is what I'm doing, Fran Lebowitz made a great point about, and I keep bringing up AIDS, but Fran Lebowitz made a great point
we
about-
We both are, to be fair. We're like, our parents are dead and we love and all talking we talk about is AIDS. Welcome
pedophiles,
to the podcast.
Pedophiles, Gaza.
I'm so in my Hannah Horvath era, it's crazy. I'm rewatching Girls and I'm on the episode where she's obsessed yeah, with getting AIDS and she tells a gynecologist-
I was scared for-
Dude, she tells a gynecologist she kind of wants it.
I understand that.
So that so she has great, a reason to be mad at her boyfriend. I totally-
And like, I got it, so now I don't have to worry about getting
it all the time. And
the
gynecologist goes, you don't want HIV. Yeah.
That show is so good. Like,
it's so good.
When people yeah, come for like, whatever. I don't really love the conversations around like in general, like art and artistry, yeah, like trying to like figure out where the yeah, one ends, the other begins. But anyway, but all that to say, like when people get mad about like, it's like, you know, these white girls who are privileged and stuff. It's like, yeah, they're satirizing that.
Yes.
It's fucking hilarious. Like that's funny because it's real. Because
yes,
a lot of girls have people have dumb thoughts like that.
That girl.
And also,
all of my 20s, I was that annoying girl.
Right. Also, yeah, like, do you want Lena Dunham to write a black trans woman?
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly.
Is that what you're asking for? Yeah. Because you're not going to like it when she yeah, tries yeah, to, and she knows that.
Yeah.
That's
yeah,
why she wrote Shoshana.
Yeah.
Because
yeah,
she can write that. That's yeah, her bag.
You're so
and
right,
then it's like, what actually, the actual villain is HBO. HBO needs to give a black right, trans woman a show so right, that she can write her experience.
Right.
But the only way that happens is if someone like Lena Dunham gets a show, becomes powerful because she got a show, and then goes, why doesn't a black trans woman have a show?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so, anyway,
yeah,
my point is, Fran Lebowitz said, a lot of people, when they talk about the AIDS crisis, talk about the great artists that we lost. And that is very true. But what they don't talk about is the great audiences that we lost.
Mm-hmm.
And that wow, like made me cry.
Remember
but I think about it all the time when I'm performing wow, in downtown Manhattan to a bunch of fucking closeted
yes,
Republicans. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, you people were supposed to be gay.
Yeah.
You were supposed to be gay yeah, and live here so that I could do my stupid art here
yeah,
and you would like it. But instead, the only people who live here now are fucking so generationally wealthy
yeah,
that they've never met a person like me. And you're looking at me like I'm insane for saying what I think.
Yes. Yeah.
You were supposed to be gay.
Oh, yeah.
That's such a haunting quote.
I know. Yeah. Sorry for dropping that on the pod.
I remember. I mean, yeah, I remember seeing that and being
yeah,
like, damn.
Damn, yeah, that's so true. I know. It there's nothing worse too than being like in the Village and performing for crowds like that, because it's like, y'all aren't even supposed to be here.
I know.
This is my space.
Yeah, go back yeah, to your country.
Yeah.
How about?
Yeah, go back to Murray Hill.
Go back
yeah,
to God's country, Murray Hill.
Yeah, and go to a big beer garden that shouldn't be there
yeah,
and enjoy yourself.
Go to the Gem Saloon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Go to the Gem.
Listen, I was a little confused in my early New York life, and I did date a Murray Hill ass guy.
And we've
but
all
I have,
dated a Murray Hill guy.
I eventually found my way.
We've yeah, all gotten scared financially and dated a Murray Hill guy.
Everybody needs a benefactor for a time
or two.
Okay?
It happens. Mine was blonde.
Yes,
it happens.
Mine had red hair and got me pregnant.
It
Don't worry
happens,
about it. The baby's dead. I did the right thing and I killed that fucking baby.
And it was a baby.
Yeah.
It was born.
It was immediately a baby.
It was
so
born
crazy,
and it was
yeah,
a baby.
Yeah. I birthed
and
it and again.
It.
I
yeah, yeah,
fucking
yeah,
straight
yeah,
to the face. I've
yeah,
had two abortions.
Got to know it first too and everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, named it.
Yeah. Named it. Got to know it. Yeah.
I'm like, your dad went to Burning Man. This is for the best for everyone. You can't be raised by such a weird pussy. I'm
no,
sorry. My son is not going to be raised by a redhead with a ponytail.
No.
It's not
certainly,
going down
it
like this.
It certainly can't happen.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess there's no answer here to how to make New York, New York again.
Yeah.
But I do
this
think
is
it'll
the
happen.
Whole country, by
yeah,
the way.
I know.
This is happening the whole country.
I
this
think
is not just
that I genuinely believe that these people will make New York City lame enough that it will have to... that they it won't appeal to them anymore.
Yeah. Oh, interesting.
And it will have to become cool again.
Yeah.
Because everything that appeals to them is shit that was built on the shoulders of the cool people that we're talking about that don't live there anymore.
Yeah.
The reason New York City is cool is because of the people who came before. So if everything becomes a venture capitalist nightmare, mm-hmm. eventually it's not going to be cool and they're all going to leave and we're going to get to party again.
Yeah.
Let's hope so.
I wonder if there will be like a, like what the, because the other thing that makes me nervous about, like, you know, I feel like the days of artists getting to move up here and take a chance on themselves are getting smaller and smaller. Yeah. And like,
I know.
And, you know, it's hard enough for any of us to make a living already, and mm-hmm. it's only getting harder, and it just makes me nervous that we're gonna, like, I wonder where, if there will be another city that
probably
can cultivate
probably
scene, you know?
Yeah. But I will say this, you can move to New York, it's just gonna fucking suck.
Yeah.
Another Fran Lebowitz quote that's great is, she says, nobody can afford to live in New York, nobody can afford to live in New York, and somehow every year 8 million people do it.
Yeah.
And it's so true.
And
it
it's
so
true. It's when I first moved to New York, I shared a bedroom with two other girls in an apartment where there was another bedroom with two girls in it. So there was five of us, one bathroom, no living room, two bedrooms. It fucking sucked.
Yeah.
And we all wanted to live in New York, and it was awesome.
Yeah.
It was one of the best years of my life because I was never there. All I did was sleep there.
Yeah.
I fucking loved it. I found all this, like, cool free shit to go to.
Yeah, and,
like,
it makes you so
I made friends
resourceful.
And it made me, like, I was 18 and I immediately became an adult because I had to. And it's like, I know that it sounds very privileged to say, but I am genuinely saying you can move to New York.
Yeah.
And if you're a weird freak, you should.
You should.
Because we need you. Like,
and, you know, like, obviously, you know, it's expensive, but there's always ways. You just got to get comfortable
with
living.
Get used to beans.
You get, that
beans are huge.
Trader
beans
Joe's
are
is
huge.
Cheapish.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, you can go stretch some groceries a long way.
And it doesn't make sense that every Trader Joe's is in a rich neighborhood. Yeah, that makes no sense.
Of course not.
But get on the train
and
go there.
Obviously, you're going to live in a food desert. We know.
We know you're going to live in a food desert.
And no, you're not going to have enough time to go to the Uptown Trader Joe's. But yeah, you're going to. And when you get there, everything's going to be out of stock and the line's going to be long. It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
You're open till 9.
You'll go on a date with a Murray Hill guy with a ponytail and he'll buy you dinner.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You're young, you're hot, you can make it here.
That is the ecosystem.
Meal to meal with a benefactor.
Yes.
Right? That's how you
do people still
diet.
Use seeking arrangement?
I'm
that's
sure.
That's what I was doing.
Oh, seeking arrangements.
That was
the
sugar daddy website. That's what I was up to. I was
I'm sure that's still active.
Because they would do like there was a formality of like a meal before the actual.
Yes, there was.
Before the actual sort of paying for sex started.
Right, right.
So I would just bail after the meal.
What a gentleman's app.
Yeah.
Wow. Truly,
truly the gentleman's app, by the way. Oh my God. One time a guy from Seeking Arrangement took me to San Marzano.
Yeah.
Do you know the place I'm talking about? It's in
that
the East
familiar.
Village.
Yeah.
And it is. It functionally is a place for college kids because I'm sure they don't anymore. But at the time they had a happy hour deal where you could get a pasta for $9 and like a pitcher of wine made it 12 or something.
Wow.
It was like amazing. And so for a fucking guy from Seeking Arrangement, I show up and it's San Marzano.
Bullshit.
How fucking dare you take me to the only restaurant I can afford?
Yes. No. We got to go Morton's Steakhouse.
Yeah.
If you're
or just any actual restaurant.
Yeah. I had a couple dollar signs on that Google search.
Yeah, buy me sushi.
Yeah.
San Marzano.
Yeah.
I'll
I
kill
see
you.
A fish I've never heard of before.
100%. It's Betamundi.
Yeah.
That's right.
I want to get to an omakase and go, wait, you don't order? I want that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I want
gonna,
that.
If you're going to fuck an old guy, you at least got to get a steak out of it.
But it was nice to do the sort of like, let's get to know each other meal. And then they were such perverts.
Oh they're such
they'd like,
perverts.
They'd like try to talk about sex over the meal and you'd go, no, no, no. We're doing the getting to know each other part.
And talk more about your kids.
Yeah. And she's
wife?
My age.
Yeah. Oh, good. Oh, and you don't speak. I didn't think so. Yeah. 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 Did. Yeah.
God, that San Marzano guy shoved his tongue down my throat afterwards in a way that I was like, okay. Maybe sex work is work and this isn't worth it.
Yeah. God bless. I mean, have you guys, did either of you ever see Renaissance Fair, the HBO doc?
No.
Oh, it's really fun. It's like, it's about the biggest Renaissance Fair festival in the country, I think. It's in Texas, and it's so big. The guy who owns it, like, owns all the land.
Is
to the point.
Is he cool or scary?
Well, he's kind of.
You know,
it's
knew
not
it.
As. It's not. It could be worse.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
It could be worse.
Love that.
Yeah, as we all know, it could be worse.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. The bar's on the ground, but anyway, it's like to the point that like the name of the town. Or the town is, it's like a full township.
Yeah.
Kind of like
Disney
World, it's like its own, like, township or whatever.
Yeah. The Vatican.
similar.
Right.
Disney World, yeah. The Vatican, the Ren Fair.
Yeah.
The big holy trinity of men owning weird parts of land.
Yeah.
But anyway, the part of the doc, it's about, it's sort of like about this guy, like, getting old enough that he's going to, like, sort of give the place over to, like, the next in line. So it's kind of a succession story in a way.
Well, Ren Fair sort of succession.
Kind of. It's sort of about his, like, cult of, like, personality of himself, too, and, like, not being able to give it up.
Yeah.
But part of the doc is also about him trying to find a lover. So he's on all these, like, looking for younger women on all these, like, seeking amazing arrangement. Mm-hmm. And the part of the doc is him, like, going on dates with, like, these young girls. It's so...
And they're, like, humiliating him and he doesn't realize it.
It's crazy. It's so... It's such a so funny part of the doc, too. It's really worth watching. I really liked it. And it's one of those... I don't know. So often documentaries, you're like, I'm going to be bummed.
Sure.
Yeah. I'm going to learn and I'm going to be bummed.
Yep. Yeah.
But this is one of those ones that's it's like, fun. It's kind of fun. And it's like...
Like the Firefest one.
Yeah.
That was fun. Yeah. Remember that?
I do remember that. Another doc that was like good spirits. I always try to find a doc that's like, I will be so miserable.
Reality's so bad already. Yeah. We don't need to get tuned in.
Yeah.
I let a Murray Hill guy put my foot in his mouth.
You gotta do that, by the way. You
gotta do that.
If you're gonna move to New York, you I've also done that. You have to do that.
And during it, you're just like, whoa, I can't believe you're letting me do this.
Well, the coolest thing about letting a guy put your foot in his mouth is it means nothing to you.
Yeah.
It's your foot.
Yeah.
It means everything to them.
It means nothing to you, and it means everything to them. And you have so much power in that situation.
Just kick them right in the teeth if you have to.
Yes. Yeah. And also, you're not like losing. You're not like letting someone inside you. You're not There's like almost no vulnerability to it.
Wouldn't it be awesome?
To them, kind of.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be awesome if like cishet sex was cishet woman's foot in cishet guy's mouth?
Oh, if that's how it works.
If it was that instead.
If that's how babies were made.
Yeah. Get a little piggies in there.
It also feels really good.
Yeah.
Hey,
just hate to say
I didn't
it.
Like it.
I loved it, but you know me. I'm always like, this is fucking so weird. Let's warm go. Let me put my little toes in there, you bitch.
But
you
I also have a weird thing about teeth. I don't like teeth.
Yeah, fair, no, I get it. I get it. But
all I could think about was how many teeth were touching my face. But it's cool. I was fucking a rich guy who lived in DC who had a foot fetish.
Yeah.
And he would sort of like get me an Accela train to DC.
Oh my God.
He said, get those feet here now.
Yeah. You got Accela feet, girl. Yeah.
And then he would then he'd come
not
on my feet.
How does it feel to have Accela feet instead of just the regular old
I'll tell you what, Nico, I've been told by a lot of people that I have really cute feet.
You do have cute feet. Not that I look at them.
I have really cute feet. I have high arches and cute little toes. And I get pedicures. I have nice little feet. I'm currently with a man who couldn't care less about them. Missed opportunity, but what are you gonna do?
God, he's wasting his time.
But I would like let this rich DC guy come on my feet, and it was fine. You go wash him off in the shower like you're at the beach, and you have sand on your feet, and it's easy peasy.
Yeah.
And then it took me 2 years for him to tell me he was a Republican.
Of course. Oh, the feet.
And
guys,
this was 2016 Trump Republican.
Yeah.
And he was
OG.
Yeah.
He was like, hey, he goes, I'm going to be in New York for like 2 hours if you want to hang out. So we met up at the Applebee's in Times Square, Republican.
Yeah.
And I was like, what are you doing in New York? And he was like, oh, I'm on a train. I took a train from New Hampshire and I'm taking one back. And I was like, okay, what were you doing in New Hampshire? And he told me he was campaigning for Donald Trump.
Oh, my God. Oh.
Jesus.
Foot guy? Foot guy who's a DJ?
Foot guy.
Oh.
Yeah.
Bummer. And then I had to be like, well, I guess you're not my fake boyfriend anymore.
Yeah.
Sure. Ugh. Yeah, it's a shame. I have a respectfully, actually. I thought of one.
It's close us out, girl.
I'm closing out on bummer respectfully.
Oh, great. Because mine was so cheerful.
Yeah, yeah. Nico brought in the joy and levity. I'll use the fucking $5 word. The joie de vivre.
The joie de vivre.
And I don't know if this will go anywhere. So I'm opening up the floor if you guys think this is anything. Yes. No, I love this. Respectfully. If a big tenet of your personality is that you're loyal, you might just be really traumatized. You know what I mean?
Wow, every word of that sentence was a surprise to me, but I understand.
It was one of those, I was like, but I'm with you.
Because you said levity, I thought you were going to be like, if a big tenet of your personality is that you're miserable, but then you said loyal, I was like, where are we going? But I do know what you mean.
Yeah. And I have this disease a little bit where
I have it too.
Such pride in like being loyal to my friends.
Yeah.
And I do think it is a wonderful quality, and loyalty is really important to me as a person to a degree.
Right.
But I do think if you're like, I'm a ride or die, and everyone you ride or die for like doesn't really care if you live or die.
Mm-hmm.
maybe yeah. we examine.
Maybe it's yeah. time to sort of implement boundaries in your life.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Because the loyalty to getting walked all over line is thin.
Yes. It's very thin. Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
And I so feel like I remember being in college and I wasn't out yet. In any regard. I came out as a lesbian at the end of college, and then I came out as trans a couple years after that. But then I remember having this thing where I was like, I'm like a really loyal friend. I'm just like a really good friend. Because I didn't know what I was trying to say was I love women.
I'm in love with you. Yes. Yes. Yeah. I am in love with you, by the way.
Where I was like, yeah, I'm just like a friend who will do anything, or I'll leave the party to come see you when you're bored. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'll do that. Like, oh, I'm that loyal kind of friend.
Broke
yeah.
up with you, I will absolutely come I'm and bring you something.
With a present. Oh, yes. For some reason. Yeah.
Always
yeah.
with a present. Always with a present.
Yes.
With an offering. Oh my God. Pathetic.
Yeah, you might just literally you might be in love. You might be traumatized, or you might be in love with your friend.
Yes. Yeah,
but like still Andrea? I feel like the loyalty thing is something that I can leave the loyalty thing is still something that I like. I'm similar. I feel like that's a quality of myself that yeah. I appreciate, and like, and but at the same time I'm like, do I say that about myself mm-hmm. because I have clung to friendships over the years where I've been totally like,
don't leave me,
yeah,
please don't leave me, yeah.
And not to mention romantic relationships. I mean, how many women are like, well, I've been with my boyfriend for 4 years and he hates me, but
that's
I'm loyal to my man.
Yes.
What? He's cheating on you right now.
Yeah.
As you listen to this podcast, he's yeah. cheating on you.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, there's something about...
He's on the Acela to New Hampshire.
Yes. Yeah. With a, literally.
With a bitch.
With a Republican bitch.
Yeah. There is something about the loyal person that they're always being like humiliated. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like loyalty is just like codependency a lot of the time. And if you're like the cuck in the codependent relationship, it's always like, well, I give them everything. That's the yeah. feeling deep
yeah.
down.
Yeah.
But you're masking it with this like, and it happens a lot between women, or with me, it happens a lot between women, where it's like, I'm her ride or die. I'm her person. And it's just like, at the end of the day, you're just going to have a messy friend breakup and she's not going to care.
Yeah.
And you're going to be like devastated about yeah. it for years.
Everything comes back to Lena Dunham.
I know.
Yeah. Everything in my life comes back yeah. to Lena Dunham.
This was the most Brooklyn thing. I was walking down the street the other day and there was a bookstore that put in the window like a cardboard sign that said, "We have fame sick."
And where was that, by the way? Because I have a flight tomorrow and it hasn't come from Thrift Books yet. And I won't use Amazon to buy fame sick. That feels wrong.
Yeah. Correct.
Yeah. But yeah. I was like, yeah, exactly.
That's so fun. That's my Brooklyn.
Yeah, yeah.
You
yeah,
know
yeah,
what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, 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 yeah.
That's my a bunch of gentrifiers reading fame sick.
Yeah. Yep.
And having
saying,
a queer
God,
experience.
Same. Oh my God.
And, and having a queer experience and going, not for me, but that's okay.
And sure.
You gotta give it up to
putting
her
your foot in someone's mouth and yeah. going, maybe for yeah. me.
Maybe
we'll
for me. Could be for anyone.
If you put your foot in a woman's mouth and you're a woman, I don't know if I'm gonna call that a lesbian experience or not.
That could just be two girls trying
that's
something.
A sleepover.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's just kind of a fun moment yeah. between friends. Yeah.
That could just be two girls having fun.
Yeah.
Well, because
that's the start of a beautiful podcast.
Yeah. Yeah. Between two women and one won't let the other one do it. Just let me do it.
One woman with apparently great feet. Yeah. One with
she keeps talking about it.
Wide open Excella. But you can't get one toe. Fuck me.
I don't know if a woman has ever had a foot fetish.
It's a really good question.
We'd have to search for one.
We'd have to search for one.
It seems to be a real male-dominated field.
If you're a woman with a foot fetish, move to New York City, write a book. Yes. I'll read it.
And write into the podcast. Let us know.
Yeah.
Let us know. We'll say your full name.
Yeah. And to wrap it back to therapy speak, I will say this. The emotional incest to loyalty pipeline
speak on that
is real. If you are your parents' little... other parent.
Little scapegoat.
You are
mommy's little scapegoat.
Mommy's little scapegoat. You are going to run around trying to be everybody's parent till you're blue in the face.
Yeah. Or everybody's favorite.
Yeah.
A lot of times
which
the loyalty.
Which is also a big comedian disease.
Oh. Yes. Oh my God. Yes. I have all these diseases,
me
by
too.
The way. I don't, like, I'm not being like, you fucking idiot. I'm being like, you fucking idiot.
Yeah.
And I do it without even realizing. It's so innate.
A lot of times the loyalty thing is I want to be everybody's favorite.
Mm-hmm.
I'm everybody's best friend.
Yep.
But you're not.
You're not.
You can't be.
Yeah.
And that's okay.
Yeah.
Move to New York. Join a polycule.
Yeah.
Learn how to share.
Yes.
Yeah. It'll be the only way you can afford rent.
Right. Beans. Polycule.
Make a chore wheel.
Yeah.
Craft a chore wheel.
Yeah.
It'll be beautiful.
It's also... I had a falling out. I famously have falling outs with every close female friend I have. Watch out, girl. Watch out.
It's coming.
No, we've lasted a long time.
Yeah.
But I remember she lashed out at me in a way that she also lashed out at a bunch of other people at the same time. She was having a borderline moment.
Happens to the best of us.
Very tough thing to live with.
And on another episode, I'll discuss how I think BBD might be the new hysteria. But we'll get that. We'll get there another time.
Love it. Tease.
I think it's sort of just a word people are throwing at women who are having a hard time.
Narcissism.
I think some women are just having a hard time, and maybe we should help them.
Yeah, maybe they're getting abused.
It's also one of those
things
where people want to throw these words out without having any, like, sort of, like, is there context in the world to why people are acting this way? Or is anything changed that is psychologically tormenting us? And yeah, I could go on.
Anyway.
Don't want to interrupt you.
No, every action has an equal and whatever reaction.
That's right. Systems are built to have the exact thing that is happening.
Maybe someone got molested and they're wigging out.
Yeah.
How about that?
Happens.
How about that? No, but she freaked out at me and blocked me, but also freaked out at a bunch of other people in the exact same way. And I felt so betrayed that I didn't get the unique freak out.
Totally.
I was
totally,
like,
totally, by the way.
David is also condescending and thinks they're better than you. That's my fucking thing.
Totally.
How dare you?
Yeah. I'm important.
You lose your shit on me in a bigger and better way.
Oh my God. Yeah. I deserve that.
I thought I meant something to you.
Truly. And then I was like, oh, I mean nothing. And I've been just like toiling. If you're toiling over someone who cannot or does not give the equal toil, you gotta take a step back.
You have to untoil.
Yeah. Untoil yourself, girls. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or and gays. And just not straight guys, to be honest.
Well, they're not listening.
Yeah, they're not listening.
They're simply not listening.
Yeah, yeah. If you're a straight guy or a woman with
they're being tortured
fetish.
Somewhere.
Yes. Yes. If you're a straight guy and you're listening, this is either you're being tortured in a part of the government that we have yet to learn about.
Yeah.
Yes. Or you had sex with one of us.
Yes.
And we didn't talk about you.
Yeah. Yep.
Or we did.
Wait for the mention. It's never going to happen.
I think that's good.
A full pod.
I think we did.
We covered a lot.
I think
of
that's
ground.
A full pod.
Yeah.
Yeah. You were a fabulous guest.
Thanks so
much
for having me.
So fun.
Thank
I loved
you.
It. I loved every second of it.
Do you want to remind the people where to find you?
Yeah. You can check me out on Instagram at Nico Carney. I'm on Substack. Also, Nico Carney on Substack. And if you're in Brooklyn, come check out my special taping June 18th at the Bell House. Thanks
go
so much.
Go to that.
Go to that.
It's going to be fun.
Go to that. If you were listening to this and you're like, I miss New York, go to Nico's special taping.
Yes.
You'll find it. There's a bunch of great late night food places around
the Bell House.
The Bell House famously really has a lot of stuff going on over there.
Yeah. Hey, you can jump pizza at the Bell House.
You can
get radiation poisoning from
Gowanus.
You can jump into
the Gowanus Canal.
Yeah.
You'll grow a finger. It'll be great.
And if Parkside still exists, the tacos there are actually good.
That's true.
Follow me on Instagram at Lizzie Cassidy. I think this will come back out when I'm back from Europe. So I was in Europe, and if you didn't come to the London shows, then that's because I didn't plug them well. And I'll be back.
And follow me.
And come to my show, Comedians You Should Know, every Wednesday at 8 o'clock at Greenpoint Comedy Club. It's no longer at 9 o'clock at the Gutter. Something happened. Not to speak ill of the Gutter, but come to Greenpoint Comedy Club.
Yes.
Every Wednesday at 8 o'clock, Greenpoint Comedy Club.
Yes, and Greenpoint is also one of these fucking vested up places. So if you're a weirdo, come there to dilute the fucking Patagonia.
If you just finished watching Girls, come to my show at Greenpoint Comedy Club. You'll love it.
Great show. Great lineups always. You're going to have a blast. I'm at Andrea Comedy 69 on Instagram. I also host Bitches Brew, which is every Friday in Gowanus at Halyards.
Right around the corner.
And sometimes at the Stand, so, you know.
And they also have food late.
Yeah. And there's
they'll
lots
make you
of,
a grilled cheese if you ask nice.
There's lots of girls and gays on that show, famously. Yeah. Follow us on YouTube at Respectfully Podcast.
Okay, bye.
Bye.